Morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you all out this morning. Sorry about my cough drop. I had to reposition it so I could talk. When Tina and I traveled to Florida, I knew I was going to preach today. And so I'm sitting there, what should I talk about? A lot of times it's, I don't know how Carl does it. Every week he comes up with a topic to talk about. Sometimes he has to do it twice a week. And for a time there, I thought I was going to do it tonight as well. But then I saw Vernon stole the singing. So tonight we're going to be doing singing tonight. So that's it just got moved from last or 2 weeks ago to tonight. But when we were talking, sometimes we get to talking about personal things. We got to talking about people sometimes making decisions based on things going on in their life. And the one topic that came up was loneliness. Sometimes when people are lonely, they make decisions, sometimes poor decisions based on being alone, sometimes good decisions on being alone. But anyway, loneliness can have an effect on your life. And so that's what the topic tonight is, the effects, or this morning, the effects of loneliness. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." God understood that Adam, even when he created Adam, that it wasn't good for him to be alone. He had the animals, but that wasn't good enough for companionship. He needed something more to fulfill his life. And of course, created Eve. There are probably times in everyone's life that we have periods of loneliness. I would like to add that being alone and being lonely may be two different things. Sometimes you can be alone and not be lonely at all. You have friends a phone call away, or you know your life's in the right spot, you're doing things right, and you may not even feel lonely. So it affects people differently. So there's two different aspects of that, but I'm talking about a person that's being lonely. And sometimes you can be surrounded by a lot of people and still feel lonely. So this lesson today is how loneliness can be a temptation that can take us away from the living life that God would want us to live. But on the other hand, it can give us the push to serve God and be obedient and live that obedient life for God. Sounds like a choice, don't it? It sounds like something we can either choose to live that way lonely or choose to do the right things that God would have us to do. And I can speak for my own life. There was a time in my life where I was transitioning from high school to college. Now, I can't say that I was lonely because I knew people were only a phone call away. But I moved from a small town in Michigan, real small town, farm country, to the big city of Fort Wayne, which was quite a transition for me. I started a job a couple months before I started college, and I started it just almost right after I graduated high school. So I moved to Fort Wayne, didn't have an apartment yet. I wasn't quite 18 years old yet. So I moved to this new city, and I had to live in a rundown hotel. It was one of those hotels you could rent for weeks at a time. It wasn't very nice. And I tell you, I was pretty sheltered in my life growing up because there were some weird things going on next door. And those are some things you got to deal with. But I felt kind of alone or lonely at that time. I knew nobody in that city. And I had to be that way until college started. And once college started, I made friends. And I wasn't going to church at the time. This church was not a part of my life at that point in my life at 17 years old. I was really, at the moment, living in that hotel. I was too scared to get out and do things on my own. So 17 years old, like I said, that sheltered life. But I started classes in September, made friends, and by October I'd met Tina. The rest is history, and I'm up here talking to you today. So because I found someone to be with, and I also found the right person, I was lucky because it pulled me into a group of Christians, and eventually I studied and became baptized, and then church became an important part of my life. But there is a time I'm not real proud of, and this was even after this. This is after Tina and I had been married for a while, three kids, and this is when I was writing this lesson. I asked Tina, was there a time in her life that she felt lonely? And I'm kind of embarrassed to say that it was while we were married. And this was a time where I started working a lot of hours. I was working probably kind of like what Joe said this morning, 50, 60 hours a week. Sometimes, I think there was one time I worked seven doubles in a row, which is seven 16-hour days, which is rough. So you come home and you feel like not doing anything. Well, Tina felt alone during that time because I'd come home from work and all she was doing was talking to three little kids. She wanted some adult conversation, and I wasn't there for her because of all the hours I worked. And I even worked a lot of holidays. So those holidays, I'd come be home from work and Christmas Day and not feel like doing anything. So she felt alone during that time, even though she had family around her. And we weren't, we were kind of new to the area too, and we were still learning how to be part of a church, and we were young. I mean, we were young for having three kids and having a job, and there was things we had to learn. But I didn't realize what I was doing to Tina in our relationship, our marriage relationship. So it was something I had to learn to work on. And when we started, and it carried on for a while, and I didn't know I was doing it. I had no idea. I thought our marriage was great, and I thought things were going along just fine. But once I learned that, I had to make correction. And part of the way I learned that, I think I was here, and I started teaching and started growing closer to God, but I had to do a lesson on marriage. I actually taught the lesson. It's kind of embarrassing to say that, well, why am I teaching on marriage? Because I'm messing up, But I think everybody does. But it is a lesson learned. And I've learned a lot from that. I've learned a lot from my wife. And hopefully I'm doing better as a husband, doing better as a father. So I say all this that even having a husband and a family may not remove that loneliness that's felt. In other words, the cure for loneliness is more than finding a husband or a wife or even a best friend. People will always let you down. Even the people closest to you will let you down. Even if you have a church family, it's more to it. There's a lot more to it than having that relationship with each of them. It's to have that relationship first with God, and then all that other stuff will work itself out. Fortunately, Tina and I got through this time, and we are closer because of it. And I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, still not perfect. I got things to continue to improve on. I keep telling Tina I'm perfect, but she hasn't bought it yet. So still stuff to work on. And I say this to say that loneliness can happen in anyone's life. And there's lots of reasons. But the first one that I'm going to pretty much talk about the things that kind of affect us. Sometimes mental disease, sometimes other things can cause this feeling. But first I'm going to start out because of sin. In Lamentations 1:1-5, which was read already, I'm going to read it again. It says, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow has she become, she who was great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night with tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into exile because of affliction and hard servitude. She dwells now among the nations, but finds no resting place. Her pursuers have all overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for none come to the festival. All her gates are desolate. Her priests groan, her virgins have been afflicted, and she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has afflicted her for the multitudes of her transgressions. Her children have gone away, captives before the foe. Because of the choices Israel made, and because of their sin, that separated them from God. And then God allowed the destruction of Jerusalem. And this caused the people to feel this. They felt that great separation from that Father. They felt alone. They felt that loneliness. And because of that suffering, the nation realized they again needed that relationship with God to relieve their loneliness that they felt. Sin will separate us from God. But it also, if we learn from it and find our mistakes and our hearts in the right place, we will make correction so we don't lose that relationship with God. It can also separate us from the people we're closest with. And that's something we got to be on guard for. And Israel had a choice to stay in their suffering or turn back to God. And in Lamentations 3:19 through 24, it says, "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." And they turned back to God. They realized their problems, and they realized they needed that relationship with God. And when we sin, there can be suffering because of that sin. And sometimes that brings on that feeling of loneliness. And it's our fault. But we got to realize nothing's so bad that we can't make correction and we can't go back to God. God is, he never moves. He's always there. He's always available to us. It's our choice. It's our decision to make to have that relationship with him. Sometimes loneliness isn't just because of sin, but sometimes because of death or illness or age. It sometimes can strike us. In Psalm 68, 4 through 6, says, "Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land." It seems like an easy answer, doesn't it? That you're lonely and someone comes and gives you advice, and the answer is go to God. Turn to God, and it'll cure all your loneliness. Probably most people wouldn't buy that right away. It does take some action. And there are other reasons for loneliness, but these two affect us the most. So what does this mean? You know, if I were to visit you and you were lonely, and the answer I gave you would be to turn your life to God, that's the answer I would give you, you probably won't like that answer. And it seems, and relationships with your brothers and sisters is a necessity, and it is part of the answer to turning to God to cure your loneliness. And there are several from the Bible that have dealt with loneliness. And these examples are as follows, and we can learn from them and how they dealt with it. David once cried out to God in Psalms 25, 16 through 18. It says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins." And then Paul, at the end of his life, noted that his friends had left, that some had forsaken him, and that he pleaded with Timothy to make every effort to come to him. And in 2 Timothy 4:9 through 18, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas is in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books and above all the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Here's two men that are regarded very highly as spiritual people. David was a man after God's own heart. And of course, Paul was one that worked through all these many things, that many challenges that he went through, and still maintained his faith in God. But here they even had moments of being lonely. But their way of correcting it was turning to God. And also in Paul's case, he turned back to people that were also godly people. He looked for those that would support him and bring him up. He called for those people. And just because you're a spiritual person don't mean you'll never be lonely. It can happen, like I said, to anybody. It does not have to be for sin. So being spiritual doesn't mean we'll never be lonely. And being lonely doesn't mean that we somehow are being punished for our sins. Nor does it mean that we are suffering because of our lack of faith. It can just happen. So, but what can we do? What can we do to make that correction? Of course, the first place to look for that healing of the pain of loneliness is to God. But that isn't generally how it's done. The first place people generally look for the answer to their emptiness is somebody else. If we can just get somebody else into our lives, then we won't be lonely. And so there is a constant struggle to get that somebody else into our lives so that we won't be by ourselves anymore. For all of us that aren't lonely, it seems like that answer is easy, doesn't it? Let's find someone to make you happy. How many of you have offered your friendship to someone that was in need and was feeling lonely, only to have that person just drain you of every aspect of your life? They just pull everything out of you to the point where then you gotta push them back away and they're right back into that lonely feeling, but you feel guilt because you've had to do that, because they've actually just drained the life out of you where you can't even concentrate yourself. This person would depend on every aspect of you without giving anything back. It's one thing to have a true friendship back and forth where that loneliness can be, but if it's only one-sided, it's not going to work. Eventually, breaking down to the point where that friendship separates and they go back to being the way it was. So give your life to God first. Build your relationships in God with church fellowship. Invite people to lunch. Accept invitation for social activities with Christians. When on vacation, one of the things that I've grown into was when I go on vacation, I find a sound church to visit. Nothing more encouraging than that. I actually love doing it now. Look forward to doing it. You meet people that know people here, which is kind of fascinating. We were in Bowling Green, and of course we met people that knew Susan. So, and then they told me to tell Susan to straighten up. So they knew Susan very well. But it's very encouraging when you see people like that and meet people like that, meet other Christians. You make friends in other places. You immediately make contacts with other places and other people, and you see people that are doing the same thing you're doing. Gave my kids advice, and I'm looking for someone to marry. And just because they don't take your advice, it doesn't mean it's the wrong advice. It doesn't always get used. But pray for your relationships and look in the right spots for your relationships. God, you know, there's not always good reasons for you being lonely, but there are ways you can get out of it. And when you're looking for that partner, looking for that person to be with, or that friend, or whoever that may be, pray for them directly. Pray to God for exactly what you want. You should be looking in the right places for these people, looking for the right reasons. Look to people in your life objectively and see if they are also putting God first. See if they will help you be a better Christian. See if they will encourage you in that way, and you can encourage them back. You need to be able to give yourself first and accept second. In this next part, I did a Google search on scriptures on being served, the other side of service. There's all kinds of scripture on service. What about the person being served? How are they supposed to act? Not very many. Very few, but the scripture on service was tremendous. But I did find two examples, and they are from our Savior. One on being served and one on service. The first one is John 13:6-9, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Cleaning someone's feet is something that's very personal. Jesus was showing the disciples and us that we need to serve like this. Not necessarily washing people's feet, but get personal with them. Get personal with these people. In verse 8, Jesus told Peter, "If you don't let me wash your feet, then you have no share with me." And Peter then wanted his whole body washed. Do we reject people serving us sometimes? I think it was Debbie that one time raised her hand, Debbie Allen, raised her hand and gave some advice. I think it was in Africa, where we were helping some people, and someone wanted to help back. And they said, "No, you shouldn't help us." But by rejecting people's service, and it was a small thing like giving a gift or something like that, by rejecting that person's service, we're not allowing them to do what is being taught here. We're not allowing them to serve. And that's something we need to be conscious of when we're serving. And I know this don't seem like it has to do with loneliness, but I'm looking at ways to fix it. And part of serving people is you get involved and you get to know people. You get to recognize them, recognize their needs. Sometimes you're just there working together and you're talking, and then you realize, well, they have a need too. I need to help them with that. And they also learn of what your needs are. And that's how it works. That's how this feeling of loneliness is cured. Jesus and Peter's conversation here shows that we need to serve, but it also tells us we need to let others serve us so they can fulfill their purpose. Then in John 13:12-15, it says, "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you example that you also should do just as I have done to you.'" So our Lord is giving us an example of service. This is not a choice. This is a command. This is what Jesus is telling us. This is not something we can do. If there's a need, we need to do it. We need to choose to do it. And there are tasks sometimes that are too large for one person. And it encourages both parties, for one being served as well as the server. And it sets the example for those watching. In the church as well as outside the church, you build relationships. And as I said, it is commanded. This is something we are to do. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do." And then in Galatians 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And in Romans 12:11, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So all these things are commands. These are God telling us that this needs to be a part of our life and needs to be an important part of our life. And then the other side of that, and why it's so important that we not only serve but allow the other person to be served, Jesus also gives an example of him being served. And in Matthew 26:6-13, Jesus is being anointed. "Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." That last sentence there in verse 13, it'll be remembered. It's in all four Gospels, what this woman has done for Jesus. It's in all four Gospels. So it has been mentioned, and all of us know about it, so it is a great example for us. And some of the best advice I had ever been given in my Christian walk was to serve others, and you will be encouraged just as much as the one you are serving. And I'm going to blame Robert for that, Robert Allen, the Allens. So Robert said that, made that statement to me one time, and it's so true. When you serve someone else, not only are you encouraging that one, but it comes back to you as encouragement as well. So are you like this woman that did this for Jesus, or are you like the disciples that are criticizing her for what she did? Sometimes when you do something good, there's someone else saying, "Why are you doing that?" They're telling you, "Why are you doing that?" Because they don't want to participate in it. A lot of times that's what it is. So you got to be willing to do that, willing not only to allow that person to serve, but support that person in the service, especially if it's something too big for that one person to handle. So which person are you like? Be like this woman and be willing to serve, but also don't be like the disciples in this case, criticizing her for what she's doing. She was doing a good thing, especially if it's the right thing to do. I realize there's right and wrong, but in this case, they shouldn't have been criticizing her. We are to share our needs with each other and in the building of these relationships, and through service we can do that. We can build those relationships. We can learn what people's needs are and do the right things. And Jesus has taught each of us through these two examples, and what great examples they are for us. Now, we've kind of looked at individuals, but what about the church? Can it be lonely as well? There's a case in Revelation chapter 3, 14 through 22, and kind of the idea of the same situation that Israel fell into. And it says, and to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginnings of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich in white garment, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in the same way, people find themselves separated from God. A church can also find themselves separated from God. Laodicea has a lot of similarities to churches in this nation. They were a church of great wealth, a church that had become content and didn't think they needed to improve, and were neither hot or cold, as described in the reading. The church here was given a way out if it repented. And I say all this to say that we here in Anderson also live in a wealthy nation, and things can change quickly. I'm not saying we're there, but we have to watch out so we don't get there. We have a church here that serves, suffers, celebrates with each other. And we have scripture here that warns us not to fall into contentment and satisfaction as far as the work of the church goes. We have opportunities all over, and we need to build the relationships to find those people that are truly searching for God. So because without God in your life, whether you feel lonely or not, you are not alone. We here at Anderson are in a state of transition. It's not a bad thing. I keep thinking about my son, Taylor, and pretty proud of that boy, by the way. But one of the things he said when he lost his job, he goes, people have lost jobs before. So not a big deal, Dad. I just got to find another one. It's not a big deal. Everybody does it. And he's right. Lots of people do it. Well, same thing with us. Churches have changed, transitioned to new preachers all the time. Churches have gone through changes all the time. This is not something we need to worry about. It's something we need to trust in God for, and we are fortunate that Carl and Lorna are willing to make this transition as easy as possible. We have time, and we're going to take our time and find the right person. It's a sad time because we don't want to see it happen. We love Carl and Lorna, and we don't want to see them go, but at the same time, it is a time that's probably best for him, and it's something we just need to go through. Some of you have been through it probably already in other churches, and we need to keep working. So this isn't a time to stop serving each other, stop doing things we're doing. We need to still keep doing what we've been doing, regardless who's up here talking. So our future is dependent on each other, and this will keep our church from being without God, as was described in Revelation. And if we do find ourselves there, we need that wisdom to recognize it. So we need to keep looking at ourselves, evaluating ourselves, and looking at ourselves to make sure we as a group don't fall and fail in that way. Because God desires that relationship with us, each one as individuals, but also as the church, and we need to keep headed the right way. So in conclusion, loneliness can strike us all. It can be cured if we have that intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. And to do that, we have to pray, have that prayer, but also find that way to have that relationship with each other. Satan will use that loneliness to pull us away from God and the church. It is our choice. It is a choice. It's something we can do and make right. And let us take our lessons from David and Paul and turn to God, and like Paul, call on godly people to take us out of that lonely feeling. Learn to serve as our Savior did, and learn to allow others to serve you so they can participate in their duties as well. Because of this, these relationships can be built with each other, we will also have that relationship with God as well. And if you have that desire to begin that relationship or need to reconnect in any way, we offer that opportunity now as we stand and as we sing.